This book helps Christians mature in their faith. In chapter 1, we talked about how we learn to be patient during our trials and tribulations. In chapter 2, we learned how important it is to practice the truth. But before we get into chapter 3, there is an important thing we need to do. Today, we really need to deal with probably the most unruly member in our church. We need to deal with this member. Now, some of you might be thinking we're getting ready to vote somebody out. But it's that member that is the subject in everybody's mouth. Later in the book of James in chapter 3, James calls the tongue that member that can destroy people's lives. So that's who we're going to deal with today. You see in our little introductory note there, chapter 3, that tongue that is something that we really need power over. It's a kind of like a super villain hiding a little pool of saliva behind a row of ivory posts. It's a tongue, but it can sneak out and do all kind of damage, and we need God's help. There's not a one of us that can control our tongue like He wants us to. Did you ever kind of wish after you said something that you could just take it back? Oh. Now, we talk maybe 25 or 30 conversations every day. Men speak maybe 15, 20,000 words a day. Then there are ladies. They are estimated to maybe send off 25,000, 30,000 words a day. You know, that will make almost over 60, 400 page books a year. We really put out the words. And some of us talk more than others. I know some men that talk. I know some men that probably sing a duet by themselves. They talk so much. But there are some ladies that do carry on a conversation. I mean, we're different from birth. Have you ever seen the kids out in the playground? The little boys are out there playing all over the place. Little girls, they gather up. They cluster up. I mean, I was a youth minister for a few years, and they didn't even want to go to the bathroom by themselves. You go bathroom. It was kind of like a herd. They just a group of them. But then on the playground, they would just share their little innermost secrets, little things that were important to them. And what were the boys doing? Well, they weren't talking. What were they doing? They made noises. So we're different from birth. Heard about one gentleman that came home for his father's funeral. Very emotional time. His sister picked him up at the airport, and he said to his sister, very distraught, "Well, did Dad have any last words, anything special?" Sis said, "No, Mom was with him right to the very end." I know that's not always the case, but we do like to talk, and we do tend sometimes to say more than we should, right? Like right now, I'm getting the idea that I probably have said too much about the tongue for men and women. So we need God's power. And in every chapter of the book of James, James teaches us something about the tongue. Now, in that first verse, look in chapter 3. "My brothers, my brethren," I told you a few weeks ago, every time he says that, he's getting ready to nail you, to body slam you. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." He says that, and then he moves on. And I hope that would move me a notch or two, move Brother Bob a notch or two, move Sunday school teachers a notch or two higher on your prayer list, because we are held in judgment even more so than a regular churchgoer. Somebody that just sits there and warms a pew. There is a heavy responsibility that comes being a teacher. And we ask for your prayer. But then he moves on to talk to everyone starting in verse 2 of chapter 3. And I've got a simple little outline there in your bulletins. Hope you'll follow along, fill in a few thoughts, fill in a few notes. I want us to first think about the dynamic potential of the tongue. The dynamic potential of the tongue. Verse 2 says, there in verse 2 of chapter 3, For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. That idea that James shares here is not the idea of a man being perfect like we think of somebody without any flaws. He says right there in the first, we all stumble in certain ways. But if anyone is never at fault in what he says, New International Statement states it that way, he is a perfect man. The idea is that he is a perfect, he's a complete man. He's a mature man. He's used that word earlier in the passages that we've studied. So it's the idea of being grown up. How you use your tongue, how we use our words are great indicators of our level of spiritual maturity. Does that make sense? How you use your tongue is a great indicator of your level of maturity. So fill in that first little note there. Our words reflect who we really are. Our words reflect what you say. Now, you might say, oops, I had a slip of the tongue. No. It can't slip out unless it passes through that brain. You had a slip of the heart. You had a statement of the heart. I put down that verse, Luke 6:45. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Like the old farmer said, what's in the well comes up in the... In the bucket. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. And what's down in our heart? We don't slip. We state. And that tongue reveals who we really are. It reflects who we are down in our heart. So Jesus reminded us, though, in Matthew chapter 12, be careful with your words, for we will give an account, it says in verse 36, of every idle word. Now let that soak in for a minute. Every word we speak is being accounted for, and we will give an account for every idle word. If that doesn't scare a gossip, if that doesn't scare a rumor monger, if that doesn't bother you, good, then you're one of those perfect men, perfect women, maturing men and women. God will hold us accountable. Number two, our words can protect what we do. Our words can protect what we do. They reflect who we really are. They will protect what we do. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, the man that can control his tongue, this perfect man, he is able to control his whole body, keep his whole body in check. Have you ever noticed that? Speech control can lead to self-control. You ever thought about that? If you learn to let God master your mind and your speech, if you're maturing in that area, then you are maturing in other areas as well. I put a couple of Proverbs in there. Proverbs chapter 13, 3, the one who guards his mouth guards his life, but the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. You've heard the old saying, loose lips sink ships. But loose lips can take a lot of saints down as well. A lot of Christians fall just by letting their mouth get loose. Calvin Coolidge, I like this statement I came across this week. He said, I have never been hurt by anything I did not say. Isn't that good? I've never been hurt by anything I did not say. That other proverb there, 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. One of my preacher friends, I've heard him say this several times. It's a little poem. He says, I'm careful with the words I say. I keep them soft and sweet. I never know from day to day which ones I'll have to eat. They reflect who we really are. They can protect what we do. If we will guard our mouth, it will guard you. He who guards his tongue is safe. Number three, our words reflect, they protect, but they can direct where we go. Our words can direct where we go. James puts two beautiful illustrations in here, one about horses, one about boats. Look in verse 3. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and that to return the whole body. A little lady on a horse, a jockey on a horse, a small child on a horse, because of that bit where it's located, controls that whole horse, big animal, little tiny thing controlling a big animal. He's trying to say here how things so small as even a tongue can make big changes and control so many things. And he's saying here we can have our whole lives directed. Verse 4, look also at the ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, James had never seen the ships like we have today. They're huge, but one small, relatively small rudder, one helmsman at the turn of a wheel. My wife and I went on a cruise one time years ago, and there was a new guy at the helm. And oh, you could tell that ship was just rocking. He just didn't know what he was doing. He tried to adjust, and by the time he adjusted, the ship had tilted the other way, and oh, I got so seasick. But that ship captain can direct that ship to destination. But listen, just like our words can take us to the proper destination, they can also take us to destruction. So they can direct our lives. Just a couple of words can change the course of our lives. You're in a court. 12 of your peers have evaluated something that you have done or have not done. These peers come to a point in that court session, and a statement is made. And that one word, or those two words, could change your life. Guilty or not guilty. Now, many of you in this room have had the experience like Bubba, Lulu, one night on a moonlit night. Some of us guys remember that experience. And Bubba says, Lulu, will you? And for a few nanoseconds, his life hangs in the balance. And then comes this answer, whichever way it goes, he's changed forever. And then a little bit later, if it goes well, then there are a couple of more words that make even a greater impact that Bubba had no idea what he was getting into. But he says, I will, I do. And his life course forever is changed. Just with a couple of words. Your words, not just to somebody, but your very words on the inside can change your life and direct your life. Have you ever heard the term self-talk? Have you heard that kicked around, self-talk? Do you know what self-talk is? Self-talk was me last night when I forgot to turn the water off on the piece of sod we got put in. And then I went out and got all wet, and I was saying things like, you dummy, you could have waited till that thing quit. You dummy. That's self-talk, calling myself a dummy. Self-talk is when you disrespect yourself, when you put yourself down. Self-talk is that talk where I can't do it. Oh, I'm just so dumb. Oh, I mess things up. Well, there are some people, listen, in this auditorium today that are not as active for the Lord. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I'm just saying this in a generality. They're not as active for the Lord because they have listened to self-talk that has told them, you can't do that. You don't have a gift for that. You're not able to do that. And you've listened to that self-talk. Dear brother, dear sister in Christ, quit that. Quit that. Rebuke that. That is not from God. He has created you for a purpose. He has a special plan for your life. Don't let that self-talk destroy you. Just as the tongue, that ship's rudder, can lead to destruction, your tongue can destroy your life. Dig a ditch, dig a grave of your life with bad self-talk. On the other hand, you can praise the Lord. There's so much that you can praise Him for. Saying that positive self-talk. My goodness, if I listened to negative self-talk all the time, I'd be discouraged and depressed and down. So we go through life saying, God is good. We sing it. God is good all the time. We say it. God is sovereign. He is in charge. God is at work all around me. We had some people in some training this morning at 9 o'clock in the parlor. Some of them are scared to death about what they're going to step out in faith and do this next week. But we have some guests that are going to come and take us into the neighborhoods, and we're just going to go along for the ride. And we're going to start sensing God's presence and God's power. And we're going to say positive things like, God is at work. God, we welcome you into this place. God, move in this place. God, we trust you. God, we're relying on you. God, you are good all the time. And that positive self-talk is going to give us that confidence. It's going to let it build up inside us and give us that victory. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But even think about it on a larger scale. Not just self-talk, but think of all the evangelists, Billy Graham and others, with just words, they have changed the lives of thousands of people. On the other hand, with just words, Hitler took us all into World War II. With just words, thousands and maybe even millions have been killed because of what dictators have done around this world. Our words are powerful. So let me use that as a segue into Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, the destructive power of the tongue. The destructive power of the tongue. That first thought there, the tongue can be devastating. Write down the word devastating. The tongue is so powerful, it can devastate things. Look at verse 5 in the New International, the part B of verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. He says there in verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Think of all the damage that is done right here in Florida every year by the wildfires during the dry season. Think of communities that have actually been destroyed, burned to a crisp in California just last year. The greatest fire probably that any of us have ever heard about is the Great Chicago Fire back in the 1800s. 300 people died. Thousands were left homeless. Over 17,000 buildings were destroyed. It took over $400 million in that day and age to restore Chicago. And it all started with, I remember as a kid we used to sing it, one dark night when we were snug in bed, Ms. O'Leary left the lantern in the shed, and when the cow kicked it over, she blinked her eyes and said, there'll be a hot time in the old time tonight. One spark started that whole chain reaction. And your words can be a spark that can start a chain reaction. Have you ever thought about it? A chain reaction is set off by a word that we say. A good example of a chain reaction, Mr. Businessman on the way to work got a ticket, and boy, was he upset. When he got to work, he just let his secretary have it. He just ripped her up. And the secretary didn't like that so much. She was upset, so she let the receptionist have it. Well, the receptionist didn't feel any too good about that. So when she got home, she just let her little boy have it. Just blessed him out. And that little boy didn't like it, so he went out and kicked the cat. Now, if Mr. Businessman had just thought, after he got that ticket, he's so mad, if he knew where that little boy lived, he could have gone over there and kicked the cat and saved a whole lot of time and trouble. But you see my idea. There's a chain reaction that is begun by a spark, by a word wrongly spoken, the wrong word spoken at the wrong time. It can be devastating, this destructive power. Fire is a good servant, but it is a harsh master. Fire can bless us with its warmth, but it can burn us and hurt us and scar us for life with its destructive, devastating power. So it's devastating. But number two, it can be defiling. That's a King James word. If you're looking along in the King James, you'll see that word, it defileth. In the New King James, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. This is verse 6. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Now, how does that happen? Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 15, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but it's what comes out of the heart, what comes out of the mouth that defiles him. So our tongue can defile us. It can corrupt our whole being. Have you ever thought about that? The words you speak can be corrupting. They can be destructing your very being. Like my Uncle George. Now, Uncle George is passed. Fine fella. But before he quit smoking, I didn't like to be around Uncle George. I mean, he smelled like smoke. I'd hug him, his clothes smelled like smoke. Get in his car smelled like smoke. Go to his house and my eyes would burn. I'd get a little sick at my stomach, house smelled like smoke. Smoking had corrupted everything around Uncle George. He finally quit. Things got better. But the same thing happens with our words. We pollute those around us. We pollute our very selves by the words that we speak. It can corrupt us in a defiling way, and sometimes in a more permanent way. Now follow me, would you? Sticks and stones can make my bones, but words will. Do you believe that? Why in the world do we teach children to say that? I was counting up yesterday how many bones I'd broken. Several. I've broken a few. And you know, I stand here feeling pretty good. Those bones healed. Everything's okay. They function. But I could stand here for just a moment and remember a few experiences in my life and begin crying. I could remember some confrontations in my life and my blood pressure would go up. I could remember some experiences, some things that people said to me, and I would be weeping in just a moment. Words penetrate. Words can defile. Words can destroy. They can ruin lives, and they can leave irreversible marks on a person's life. They're as bad as abuse, and I think right up there with molestation, the words that we speak can tragically impact a life and defile a life with a tongue. Well, let me move on. The number three, words can be devouring. Now, this is interesting. Devouring. James uses a word picture right out of the animal kingdom. He says, all kinds of animals, this is verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but the tongue. But no man can tame the tongue. It devours. It can devour. The word we even have in our vocabulary, backbiting. Where does that come from? It comes from that picture of the animal jumping on the back of the neck of the other animal and biting into it and just holding on until that other animal dies. And what's so funny is that we are accused at times or another of backbiting. We humans, we Christians, even believers. I put that verse, Galatians 5:15, in your notes. Paul said, you bite and devour one another. Wow. With our words, we can bite and devour someone. Christian cannibalism. Heard about one lady that was feeling really badly. Went to the doctor, had some tests run. He came back in a few minutes. He said, ma'am, I am sorry to tell you, you have rabies. Why, she got her purse out, got a piece of paper and pencil, started writing things down. He said, ma'am, you writing your will? She said, no, I'm writing down the names of all those people I want to go bite. Be that way. There are those that have that attitude. I'm not going to suffer alone. I'm going to take everybody else I can down with me. Biting and devouring. So as we think about our words, remember this fourth point. They can be deadly. They can be deadly. Verse 8, the latter part of verse 8 there in chapter 3. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It's like a snake in the grass. Now, not many people enjoy walking by and seeing a snake in the grass, but it lies there quietly, like a conversation, just going along, minding our own business, so to speak, carrying on a conversation. Then it strikes and sticks its fangs into the ankle and releases its deadly venom. So can be a word. It can be deadly. It can start working in that venom into our lives, even in the house of God. That's what really amazes me. We talked about the mature Christian, the perfect man. But even in the house of God, I'd rather have vipers out there in the vestibule and cobras up in the choir loft than to have a couple of deadly tongues at work in a church. Amen? It can destroy a conversation, a congregation. There have been wars that have started over one thing a person said. There have been lives that have been destroyed, characters that have been assassinated. There have been homes that have been destroyed. Churches have been split over just a few words. Our words can be deadly. We can assassinate with our words. That verse, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Wow. Life and death, they're in the power of the tongue. You can assassinate someone with your words, with your tongue. Years ago, I read about a lady that committed suicide. She left a note. It was an unfinished note, but the note ended with these two words, "They said." Wow. Took her life. Now, they didn't make her take her life, but whatever they said gave her the momentum and the motivation to check out of this life and quit living a life. Something they said. They didn't kill her, but they contributed with their words. That's the deadliness of a tongue, a lying tongue, a slanderous tongue, a gossiping tongue. It's like a pyromaniac, burning, devouring, destroying. And so we all need God's mercy, do we not, to control this wild beast in our mouth? So wash your ears out with the number three, Roman number three. Let's get to the positive side. Some of you are going to be afraid to say anything for the next few days. Let's look on the positive as we finish. Number three, the divine purposes of the tongue. Oh, it can be used for wonderful things, verses 9 through 12. James says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. And then he does share a contrast, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And you've seen it happen. Probably not you, but maybe your mom or dad did it. Maybe somebody else that you know. Surely none of you would do it. But you're on the way to church, and boy, the kids have been unruly, and man, you had a rough morning, and you're just letting them have it left and right, and then all of a sudden we get to the parking lot, open the door. Oh, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. We go to church, we bless the Lord, oh my soul. We converse and we confess that we love Him. We listen, and then we get back in the car, and instead of blessing, we're blasting again. Instead of confessing, we're criticizing. That tongue, back and forth. James says, these things ought not be. So what should be? Well, one of the greatest things that we can do is bless the Lord. Look at that verse 11 and 12 again. Just a couple of parts of it. He said, can fresh water and salt water come out of the same spring? No. Last part of verse 12, a salt spring can't produce fresh water. So what should be produced by the Christian life? Number one. That tongue of yours, my tongue, our tongue, should be used, number one, for exaltation. Write that word down, exaltation. We exalted the Lord in our songs earlier. Exaltation. And not just in church. We shouldn't just come to church and that be the only place we praise Him. One of the verses we read in our responsive reading, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 34:1, that was the basis of one of the songs we just sang. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Not just on Sunday, not just when we're teaching Sunday school, but at all times His praise will be in my mouth. At work, at school, in the neighborhood, I'm praising Him. And there was an old chorus we sang years ago, it's amazing what praising can do. And as we praise Him, think about this. He says in Psalm 22:3 that He inhabits our praise. When we praise Him, He is in our presence, and we take His presence wherever we go, praising His name, praising His name, praising His name. Take out a few grumbles and put in a few hallelujahs. Take out a few complaints and put in a few praises. Start changing. What life, what family, what business wouldn't be better if you were constantly praising the Lord? Is there one? They would all be better if we were constantly praising the Lord. Number two,
It should be used for edification. Edification. Now, James says, don't bless God and curse others. And the opposite of a curse is what? A blessing. An encouragement. Building someone up. In Ephesians 4, 29, I couldn't fit all that in your notes, but I think I jotted down that reference. Paul said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I read the neatest thing from Chuck Swindoll. Heard him preach this on a radio message one time, then read it in one of his books. He was in seminary with a young man who had a huge red birthmark on the entire half side of his face. He wondered what had happened. One day after he got to know the young man, he got the courage up and just asked him, what did happen to your face? The young man said, oh, it's a birthmark. But the interesting thing about that, when I was a little kid, I was worried about it. Probably at that time when we tell them about the tooth fairy and Easter bunny, times like that. And my dad said, son, that's where an angel kissed you when you were born. And God gave you that mark so that I could find you and see you among all the other kids. He turned to Chuck Swindoll and he said, and you know, Chuck, I kind of feel sorry for people that don't have a big red birthmark on their face. That daddy breathed life into that child, life that lasted for years of encouragement for him to move into a ministry position. Oh, we can bless with our tongues. We can build with our tongues. I've never heard a person say, oh, no more blessing. Nope, no more building up. Nope, I've had enough compliments. Nope, don't need any more encouragement. Nope, leave me alone. No more. Don't say any more nice things. No, we all need it. We all need it. We are made that way. And dear ones, we're going to have people visiting our church that have been beat up all week long by Satan, by an unchristian spouse, by a boss. They're going to be coming looking for someone to love them. Will we be that loving congregation? Will we be the ones that build them up? Oh, it would just thrill my heart for me to meet somebody out on the street. Yeah, I went to your church. Boy, that is one bunch of encouraging people. Why can't we be that way? We can be that way. If we choose to be that way, they're going to be coming out of their darkness like a moth drawn to a light, looking for encouragement, looking for someone to love them in Jesus' name. But lastly, one of the greatest things that we can do with our tongues, teaching, that's important, training, helping others, especially, let me put in a plug for next Sunday, at 9 o'clock, we're going to be using some material to help you train others to be stronger Christians. It's a little course in discipleship. It'll be very simple. We'll spend about an hour working with it, and then you can go and meet some of these new people that come to visit our church and help them grow in Christ. Teaching is great, but the biggie, number three here, that I wanted to spend our last couple of minutes on, it should be used for evangelism. It should be used for evangelism. And you say, well, Brother Carey, how in the world do you see that there? Well, look at verse 12. I think it's pretty logical. He said, my brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? No, but it can bear figs. Or a grapevine, can it bear figs? No, but it sure can bear grapes. He says, yes, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. If fig trees bear figs and grapevines bear grapes, no trick question, but what should, if big doggies have little doggies and big cats have little cats, what should big Christians have? Little Christians. We need to share the gospel in such a way that we draw people to Himself, draw people to His kingdom, and help them grow. One of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is to share Jesus Christ with others. That verse up there, it said, with our tongue we can bless the Lord, or with the tongue we can curse fellow man. Let me draw an analogy here, a little bit of teaching here that you may miss. You might say, well, I just don't know how to share my faith. We'll help you learn how to do that. You might say, I just don't know how to follow up. We'll help you how to do that. But here's a truth that just haunted me all week long as I got to it. If you do not, now follow my logic. If you do not bless someone by sharing the good news with them, if you do not share with them what you have, you are keeping them from knowing how to go to heaven. You are dooming them. You are blasting them. You are cursing them to go to hell. You are contributing to their loss of eternal life. Failure to witness, and I don't care how you do it. I said a few weeks ago, can you bake a cherry pie? I mean, you just love them till they ask you why. You've got friends, family, neighbors, co-workers. If we don't share with them, it's as good as saying, you go to hell. Now, is that too harsh? That's true, isn't it? If I fail, if I refuse to share with him the good news, I have doomed him with the bad news. He's going to hell. With our tongue, we bless the Lord, but with that same tongue, by not using it, we curse our fellow man. And it's our responsibility by failure to share. And you may be scared spitless, but there are ways to share. We want to equip you. We want to help you do that. Go out with these people this week. Let them show you how to do it. We'll have some more classes, not just this morning, but other classes to help you be comfortable in some form of witnessing, because you and I are going to be held accountable, not just for empty, idle words, but for every person we could have shared with that never heard the good news, their blood. Ezekiel said it twice. My dad hit on it last week. Their blood will be required at our hands. Amen or oh me? Both, I guess. So what do we do? Conclusion. What do we do about all this? Do we just grit our teeth? Say, well, I'm going to control my tongue. I'm going to control my words. I'm just going to use all the power I can, or I'm going to... That doesn't work. Verse 8, remember? It said, no man can tame. Only God can. Heard this little poem. No man can tame the wicked tongue. No man his soul can save. Only God can cleanse the heart and make the tongue behave. Remember, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the tongue, that the mouth speaks, Jesus said. So we must make him the rider of the reins, the controller of those reins, of the bit, the helmsman at the rudder of our lives. And it begins by trusting him. And I dare say there's someone in this audience today that just hasn't started with that. That's where the power comes from, by inviting him in. We call it the spirit-filled life, or the spirit-led life. And we ask him to come into our lives and control our lives and take control of our tongues. Control of our minds and our tongues. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a day-by-day. It's discipleship. It's putting time in God's Word, putting time in prayer, spending time with other Christians, and letting them change our lives, and then growing one with another. And if you haven't done that, we set aside a time in our worship service to give you a chance to make that decision, to make a decision to follow Christ and receive him as your personal Savior, to turn away from trying to run your own life, to give your heart to him, and then follow him as a Christian in believer's baptism. And then you can say, as King David said, Psalm 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. He has no responsibility or reason to do that until you're his child. But when you become his child, he begins a work from the inside out. Not you trying to control it all, but from the inside out. I know it works. I'm working with a guy over in my gym. Cussed a blue streak first few times we played racquetball. But as I coached him a little bit and coached him and helped him, it just has been amazing. I was hoping he would come today. I was not going to point him out, but I was hoping he would come today to learn how to control his tongue even more. Look at that last little action plan I put in your notes. What are we going to do? Here's something that would be a great practice. Reading the Proverbs, there are 30 days in the month, 31 days sometimes. Read a proverb of the day. Today you'd read chapter 6. There are a couple of good verses in there to protect your finances from making a deal with somebody. It says, watch your tongue. Don't let your words get you into trouble. Don't make a surety or don't make a cosign with someone. Every day, just about, there's something in there to protect your tongue, protect your life. Read the Proverbs. Then think first. Really, think first. I don't care who you are or how bad a language or profanity you were ever into, you had to think it before you could say it. It has to start somewhere. It may just spout out real quickly, but you had to think it before you said it. Think about it, and then use this little acrostic when you say something. T-H-I-N-K. Is it true? If it's not, just don't say it. Is it helpful? If it's not, don't say it. Is it inspiring? Will it build people up, in other words? Is this going to encourage somebody, inspire somebody? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Just a little action plan you can take with you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, would you? During this time, Christians, I want you to think. Has there been a time where I have devastatedly destroyed or hurt someone because of my words? Is there someone I need to go and ask forgiveness of? If you've never had that power over your tongue, you need that rider to hold the reins. You need that helmsman to control the ship. His name is Jesus, and you receive him like this. You realize you can't save yourself, and you ask him to come into your life and forgive your sins and quit running your own life and let him take control by confessing your sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And asking him to make you his child. During this time, if there is a decision like that you'd like to make, you come and talk with me or Brother Bob. There are other decisions to join our church or to follow him in believer's baptism. You come, we'll share with you how we can make that happen as well. But just a very simple time of invitation. Very quietly, we're going to sing. But before we sing, let me pray. Lord Jesus, I know there's got to be someone in here today that has probably drifted away from you, said some things they're very sorry for. As we spend these moments in invitation, let them remember what it is they need to do, who they need to go to ask forgiveness, and give them that boldness to do it. Lord, protect those that have been using bad self-talk, putting themselves down. Let them get past that. Let them start saying the positive things. Let them start counting their blessings, knowing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give them those positive self-talk words to say. And get them out of their rut. Get them off of the pew and out into the work that is needed to be done here in this area. Give them boldness that can only come as you work the work from the inside out. Lord, if there's one that needs to trust you, let him, let her kick the brakes off and just come and give his or her life to you. We pray that in Jesus' name.